Sometimes in the suburb that Veronica lives in, they have a garbage collection. I went past her house the other day and I grabbed that bit off the nature strip. It was an old 78, and I dusted it off, and there you go. That was a good
there
intro.
There you go.
Martin Munchausen and the Polka Barons cruising down the river. Well, when it comes to river cruising, Riviera Travel is a market leader in the UK, but the River Cruise Company is not so well known in Australia. However, the company's sales manager for Australasia, Thomas Morgan, plans to change that, as he told Veronica Matheson on a recent visit to Australia from his home base in England.
Thomas, now your cruise line is well known in Europe, but it's not so well known in Australia, but I gather you're about to change that.
Yeah, so we're actually the market leader in the UK. We take more Brits than anyone else on river cruising. So we've now started selling being more proactive in the Australia market. So hopefully over the next few months, people will see a lot more of us.
How are you going to lift your profile in Australia?
So we're working with two major partners over here. So Cruise Co and Cruise Traveller. They're our main partners working with the trade. So we are, you cannot book us as a direct customer, but you can book through Cruise Co or Cruise Travellers, and they can help package the flights and the transfers and everything like that. So they'll be helping raise our profile.
You've got a very British accent, and the company, I gather, is very British, with names like Emily Bronte, Jane Austen, Charles Dickens, Oscar Wilde. Was that intentional?
So we are a British company. We've been going for 34 years in the UK. And the ships sort of just came about as all the staff in the office were able to vote for a name. And Lord Byron was not far, grew up and lived not too far from where the office is in the UK. So they started the Lord Byron. And then it's sort of just as a theme that's taken on itself. So with the Jane Austen, the Oscar Wilde, the William Shakespeare, etc. And that's just a theme we seem to be continuing.
So how many ships, river ships, do you have at the moment?
It's a 12 at the moment, but we launched four ships back in 2017. We launched two new ships in 2018, and we've got two new ships in 2019 as well. So the entire fleet that we sell over here will have all been built within 5 years at the end of the season.
You're following the trend worldwide, which is that travellers are all looking to cruising now.
Well, it is. I think the great thing about river cruising is you're getting on board a fantastic ship. You know, these are they're like five-star hotels. They're absolutely stunning. And you don't have the hassle of packing and unpacking, you know, the same great things that you do have about ocean cruising. But the great thing about river cruising is you're sailing along and you're waking up or you're mooring up in a different town or city every single day, and you're able to explore and see the scenery as you're going along. So river cruising, you know, is an absolutely massively expanding part of the holiday market, but it's one I can completely understand. It's such a great way to travel.
A lot of Australian travellers already go on river cruises. In fact, a very popular thing to do, especially in Europe. But what makes your particular company, Riviera Travel, different?
There are quite a few things that make us different, really. So one thing is great is the price you see is the price. So the price the customer sees, whether they book the day it goes on sale, 6 months' time or a year's time, it's exactly the same. We never discount, we never inflate the price to do sort of these crazy offers. So we believe that everyone who's in the same cabin grade should pay the same price. So that's one great thing.
I mean, what is extra if you say it's all the same price, but there must be some things on board which you pay extra for, maybe alcohol?
So there are, yes. So we include one important thing. So all the excursions are included, the port charges and taxes, they're all included, and all the food included. But you're correct, you know, the drinks on board are an extra. But the reason we do that is because we always think not everyone drinks or not everyone always wants to get value for money from it. In terms of, if we were to do all-inclusive drinks, we'd probably have to charge everyone $400 to increase the price to cover it all. And it's a bit like when you go for dinner, isn't it? You know, there's always, you know, someone in the group will have the fillet steak and the two bottles of red wine, and someone will probably have a salad and a water. But with us, drinks on board are very reasonable. So a glass of large wine this year was only €4 on board, same for a large beer. So very reasonable to drink on board, just to buy as you go. Or if you want to take a drinks package for lunch and dinner, it's beer, wines and soft drinks during lunch and dinner, and it's only $199 per person.
Cruise lines, usually you can't even bring alcohol on board, can you? I guess it's the same restriction with you?
No, not at all. So with ourselves, you can bring drink on board and you can drink it in your cabin for no extra charge, or you can pay just a €15 corkage fee and you can drink it in the public areas.
Oh, that's quite reasonable. Now, food. What's your focus on food? Is it very British?
No, not very British, so it's not going to be sausage and mash and fish and chips the whole time. The food's really good, so we always have a local options. So there's always things like goulash and, you know, something certainly more local. But then we also do have options for people who maybe want something they're maybe more familiar with, so steak or, you know, a fish option, certainly.
Well, I would imagine that most people, when you get to a destination like, say, like Hungary, Budapest, you'd obviously want to have the Hungarian goulash, wouldn't you?
I always do. That's me. I would like the local option. But, you know, there are people who, maybe not like the goulash, but it's completely down to them. So you'll always be able to find something as a customer to eat that you will want to, whether that is the local option or the more familiar one.
And what about entertainment on board?
So we always have a pianist in the lounge in the evenings, but we do bring local entertainment on board. So, for example, in Vienna, we bring a string quartet on board, or in Budapest, we bring a local folk dance group on board. So we do bring entertainment on that is relevant to the area there you're going to be sailing through. But also part of the entertainment is going off the ship and exploring and wandering around your local town or destination. Now, that's one of the great things about Europe.
When your cruisers arrive in port, do they stay in port until late at night, or do you tend to sail as the sun sets?
It does depend on the itinerary. For example, on the Juro, we do all our sailing at daytime. We do always ensure that when we're sailing on other rivers, that we're going through the scenic parts at day. So, you know, if you're sailing through the Rhine Gorge, for example, that will always be at daytime. But same with the other lines, you know, there are inevitably points where we do have to do some evening sailing, but we try and do as much of it by day as possible.
So sometimes it would be a late stop in port to, say, sort of 10 o'clock at night, so that people can actually go into town and maybe eat in town rather than on the ship?
Yes, there is that option for people, you know, so if they wanted to get off. So one of the great things we do is our dining times are open, for example. So I'll give you the evening. It's normally between 7 and 10 o'clock you can have dinner, so you don't all have to go down at 7 or 8 o'clock. So if you're off the ship and want to have a bit of a wander and explore and then come back and have dinner later, you can do. Or if you want to do the opposite, you know, have your dinner early, then get off and have a walk into town and have a drink, or maybe walk down the riverbank whilst it's all lit up. But the option's completely down to yourself.
Australian travellers, are you trying to appeal to maybe those who like, say, the QE2, the Cunard style of sailing, which is very British?
Certainly, if you have sailed that style and you've enjoyed it, you'll definitely like us. But we're also appealing to people that, five-star river cruising has always maybe seemed, very excessive in its price point. And we're offering it a much more competitive price and offering great value for money. So I think we're really appealing to, you know, those sort of British-style cruisers in cruise lines, but also anyone that's interested in that destination. You know, if you've got a particular interest in where we're sailing, you will enjoy where you're going.
And what sort of star rating do you see yourself as?
Oh, it's definitely in the five-star sector. The ships are as good as anything else you'll see out there. You know, it is a five-star product.
And destinations. I mean, Riviera, your name, almost sort of suggests that you spend your time in the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
And do you?
No, so our cruises are all on the main rivers in Europe, you expect. So the Rhine, the Danube, the Juro, Moselle, the Dutch waterways. That's where we do it, south of France as well, on the Rhone. The name just sort of harks back from when the company was founded 34 years ago. The first holiday we did was to the French Riviera. So that's actually where the name comes from.
And what is the most popular river cruise at the moment for you?
It does always sort of change. The most popular itineraries are the Rhine, the week on the Rhine. So we do Cologne to Basel. One great thing we do on that, just to let you know, is we don't do the Amsterdam to Cologne section, which is very industrial, very boring. We spend that day and a half sailing taking the customers around Switzerland. So we take them to Lucerne, we take them up the Bernese Oberland to get a lovely view of the Eiger with all the sort of the terrain below. It's absolutely stunning. But that's always very popular. The Danube is always popular, and the Douro in Portugal. They're sort of the three most popular itineraries that we sail.
Yes, certainly Portugal seems to really be going gangbusters.
It is, and we've actually got two ships that sail on the Douro as well.
And what about a new itinerary that you're introducing? Do you have one that sort of is growing at the moment?
So one that's definitely on the up and coming is our Budapest to the Black Sea. So that is a 2-week round trip, Budapest to Budapest, but you never visit the same place twice. But what's really different about ours is a lot of the other river cruise lines stop in Bucharest and don't go any further, but we actually sail into the Danube Delta, which is a listed UNESCO site. Loads of wildlife around there because it's into the wetlands and the marshland, but it's really, really stunning down there. And that's certainly an up and coming an itinerary for has proven very, very popular.
Good luck with interesting Australian travellers in cruising with your company. If they want to know more...
So if they want to know more, if they visit our website, rivieratravel.com.au, on there you can look at videos of the ships, you can look at all the itineraries, and that will certainly help you going forward booking a river cruise.
Terrific, Thomas. Thank you very much for your time.
That was Thomas Morgan of Riviera Travel, a company that plans to see many more Australians booking cruises on its 5-star river ships for sailings around the European waterways.